wassalatu wassalam ala rasulihil karim nabiyyina muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahabatihi ajma'in. This evening inshallah, before we make salatul qiyam, qiyamul layl, in this blessed month of Ramadan, and this is the 7th night of Ramadan, 1417, here in Masjid al-Muslimin in Brooklyn, New York, we'd like to just make one comment in the beginning, is that we want to focus, inshallah, through this entire month, as we've been saying, on the Quran. And unfortunately, with the advent almost 15 years ago or less, especially among the American Muslims, at the advent of this da'wah to Quran and the Sunnah, on the understanding of our rightly guided predecessors, unfortunately, many of the brothers have become very zealous because of their love for the Sunnah, and they have abandoned the Quran almost in its entirety, where we hear the brothers talking a lot about this hadith is munkar, this hadith is shadh, that hadith is da'if, this hadith is not authentic, that's authentic, the sheikh said this, that, where you find the same brothers not spending a lot of time or any time at all trying to memorize the Quran or to ponder on the Quran. And that's why we wanted to devote as much time as we can, because this is the month in which the Quran was revealed, and this is the month of which the Sunnah bears witness that the Quran is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, this evening we just like to talk a few minutes on this chapter of the Quran, of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, and it is chapter 33, which is Surah Al-Ahzab, of which some people translate as the Confederates, or some people translate as the Allies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the Istaada, and after the Basmala, after I say A'udhu Billahi Sami' Al-Alim Min Ash-Shaytan Ar-Rajim Min Nafsihi Wa Nafkihi Wa Nafsih Wa Hamzih Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu ittaqillaha wa la tuti'il kafirin wal munafiqin inna Allah kana aliman hakima. In this ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, O Prophet, ittaqillaha wa la tuti'il kafirin wal munafiqin. Keep your duty to Allah and obey not the disbelievers and the hypocrites. Inna Allah kana aliman hakima, surely or verily Allah is ever all-knowing, all-wise. In this particular ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he addresses the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one of the two or three ways, and Allah knows best, that he addresses the Prophet throughout the Quran. Here he addresses the Prophet, and the Prophet is in the second person, where he says, Ya ayyuhan nabi, O Prophet. And some of the ulama of tafsir of Quran, they say that, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't waste words, and every time he mentions something in the Quran, the manner that he mentions it for a reason. He doesn't mention it for no reason, because the Quran wasn't revealed haphazardly, it wasn't revealed just for nothingness. There's a reason why. In this particular ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet and Nabi. In other ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as Rasul. And when you see Allah in many cases mentioning or addressing the Prophet in the second person as the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you'll see that it's almost always connected with Risala, with the message, which coincides with Rasul. Rasul, Risala. As Allah says, Ya ayyuhal Rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min Rabbik. O Messenger, convey that which has been revealed to you from your Lord. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَ. And if you don't convey that which is revealed from your Lord, reveal that message, you haven't revealed the message. In that ayah, Allah mentions the Prophet as the Rasul. In this ayah, he says, Ya ayyuhan nabi. And this is one of the unique qualities of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically, but he also means the believers in general. And you can find this all through the Quran, where Allah will address, will mention something in general, and it will mean general. He'll mention something specifically, and it will mean specific. He'll mention something general, and it will mean specific. He'll mention something specific, and it will mean general. This is the style of the Quran. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ إِذَا تَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءِ. O Prophet, when you divorce your wives. O Prophet, when you divorce your wives. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the Prophet, but the address is actually going to us. Even though he mentions the Prophet, when you, the Muslims, divorce your wives, even though the Prophet is the one that was addressed. This is one of the unique styles of the Quran. In this particular ayah, Allah starts out, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu. And he says, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu li ta'zeem. Out of honoring the Prophet, out of respect of the Prophet, out of the high position of nubuwwah. So he addresses the Prophet as the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu. The word nabiyyu, the scholars of tafsir and Arabic language, they differ on the origin of this word. They have two opinions, and both of them are correct. One, they say that the word nabiyyu comes from the word nabi'u. 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 And the word nabi'u comes from the verb naba'a. And we have a surah, which is the first surah of the last juz of the Quran, called naba'a. And this word naba' is the same, has the same root as the word nabi, coming from nabi'u, which means khabar. Naba'a is khabar, to inform. So when you say that a prophet is a nabi'u, you're saying that he is a mukhbir. He is one who informs. He is one who informs the people about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about. That's why he's called nabi'u, sometimes pronounced nabi'u. The other scholars, and he's also a mukhbar. He's mukhbir, the one who is informing the people, and he's a mukhbar in the ism fa'il, in the ism maf'ul, in the passive form, which means he was informed. He's informed by Jibril, by Allah, by agency of Jibril, and then he becomes a mukhbir, ism fa'il, an active participle, where he informs the people. So he's mukhbar and mukhbir of the khabar and the naba of Allah. He's given the information of Allah that he received from Jibril, who received it from Allah, and he informs the people. The other meaning of Nabi is Nabiyu. Not Nabi'u with a Hamza, but Nabiyu with a Ya, which was originally a wow. And that word, Nabiyu, from the some of the other scholars, the second camp, means Nabwa. Comes from the word Nabwa, Nabwatun. Nabwa is a post, like this microphone right here. It's a land post, a sign post. Meaning, for instance, if you were to go right now out to the turnpike, or you were to go to the FDR Drive, you see the signs as you're going up the turnpike, or you're going up 87 North, and it'll say Albany. And have an arrow pointing in that direction. That, in the Arabic language, is called Nabwa. A Nabwa. Because it's something that's elevated from the ground, it's elevated, raised up, and it points you in a certain direction. That's why the word Nabiyu means the one who is elevated among the people, and he points you in a certain direction, which is direction to the Jannah. Which is direction to the Jannah, to see the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu. Then Allah says, Ittaqillah. And fear Allah. And this gives the common reader, like myself, it gives the layman a lot of problems. Because ittaqillah means fear Allah. Fear Allah. And this is the commandment. Once again, from the point of the Arabic language, you have, this is called a fi'l al-amr. It's a verb of command. For instance, if I say ijlis, means sit, means I'm commanding you to sit. Or if I said qum, stand up, that means I'm commanding you to stand up. So what's the problem? The problem is that here Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to fear Allah. The asl the foundational meaning of a verb of command is a request or a commandment, not a request, but a commandment in the form of a commandment commanding someone to do something that they weren't doing. Not just an action. It's commanding someone to do something that they, before you asked them to do it, they weren't doing. That's where the problem comes in regards to the prophet in this ayah. Because if I said to you, Ijlis, sit down, what does that suggest? That you're doing something other than sitting. If I said, Qum, stand up, what does that mean? That means that you weren't standing up and I want you to stand up. I'm commanding you to stand up. If I said, Kul, not Kul with a Qaf, with a Kef, Kul, eat. If I said, Ishrab, drink, right? All of these imply from the origin of the fi'l al-amr that you're not doing it. So now how could it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to tell the Prophet, Ittaqillah, fear Allah? What does that suggest? That he didn't fear Allah, that he's not muttaqi. That's what it implies. And this is mustahil. It's impossible that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't have taqwa. It's impossible. So from our aqeedah, even though the Arabic says ittaqillah, our aqeedah rules it out automatically. We throw it away. We said it doesn't mean that. There has to be some other meanings of the verb of command. Because of our aqeedah tells us that. The aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah tells us this. It doesn't tell the other Muslims that. Only the Muslims who have the aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah automatically say, no, that can't mean that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't doing it. No, it's not for emphasis. Because if it was emphasis, then still it would suggest that he wasn't doing it. Some of the other meanings for the fi'l al-amr, the command verb, is tajdeed. To renew the action. Another meaning of the command verb is istimrar, which is to continue to do what you're commanded to do. And that's what it means here. It means, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, ya muttaqi, atqa min al-nas, the person who has more taqwa than all of the khalq, all of the creation of Allah, tastamirru fit taqwa. Continue in your fear of Allah. Continue in your fear of Allah. Like if I say to you, keep up the good work. Right? That's a commandment. Keep up the good work. It can either mean you haven't been doing good work or keep doing the good work. But because of the English phrase, you know what it means. But in Arabic, you may not necessarily know what it means. And that's why it's important for us to get the foundation of this deen, which is the correct aqeedah, the tawheed, from the correct sources. Because even with the Arabic language, it can cause problems. Even with the Arabic language, it can cause problems. So in this particular ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu taqillah. O Prophet, fear Allah. And you notice that Allah didn't say, Ya Muhammad. Once again, it's from respect and honor that he called him the Prophet. Even so much so, we find when Allah admonishes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran, the style that we find in the Quran of Allah admonishing the Prophet, because at least two occasions that I can remember, Allah admonished the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a strong admonition. In every single one of those admonitions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except for one, he never called the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by his name. And he put the Prophet in the third person, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that means that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to stand now and recite the Quran, therein is the admonition to him, because the Quran came down in his heart and he has recited with his tongue, so everybody can hear it. It would be very disrespectful and it would be unjust from the Lord of the worlds for the Prophet to say, O you who turned away from the blind man. O you who frowned and turned away from the blind man. That would be very heavy on the Prophet's heart. عَبَسْتَ وَتَوَلَّيْتَ إِن جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى. Right? O you who frowned. O you who turned away. But Allah, even when he admonished the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he put him in the third person as though he was not talking about him to show respect. عَبَثَ وَتَوَلَّى أَنْ جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى. When he frowned and he turned away, even though it was talking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of respect for the Messenger of Allah, even though he was admonishing him. And we find different types of commands like this in the Quran. Some of them are general, and some of them are general with details. Like you see where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ. O you who believe, and here's the command, make the salah. وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةِ, and pay the zakat. This is all general. Then you find where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا. O you who believe, believe. This is more specific. O you who believe, believe. Whereas the salah and the zakat is a part of our belief. But here Allah is saying, O you who believe, believe. And the other places, O you who believe, establish the salah and pay the zakat. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in this noble ayah, وَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ. Don't obey the disbelievers and the hypocrites. And Allah could have, he could have said, وَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ. وَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Don't obey the disbelievers. Because the disbelievers would have been sufficient for Allah to say, because the disbelievers are disbelievers, they're not believers. Or Allah could have said, وَلَا تُطِعِ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. Don't obey the munafiqeen. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, O Prophet, after ordering him to do something, and then now prohibiting him from doing something else in the same ayah? The first order is fear Allah. Continue to fear Allah. The second order is an order in the negative, meaning don't do something. The first is do something and don't do something. The first thing he's telling the Prophet, he's ordering him not to do, prohibiting him, is don't obey the kuffar. But why did he put munafiqeen right next to kuffar? The reason why the scholars of tafsir say is because it's possible that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have obeyed the munafiqun, but it's not possible that he could have obeyed the kuffar. Why is it possible that he could have obeyed the munafiqun? Why? Anybody? Because he doesn't know who they are. The only way he can know who they are is that Allah told him, and that's why he prayed on a munafiq. And Umar pulled his thawb, correcting him. Don't you remember what Allah says in the Quran? He didn't know this man was a munafiq. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in this ayah, وَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ. Don't obey the kuffar and the munafiqun. In this ayah, in this part of the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we like to say exactly what the ulama of tafsir say, that this ayah means. And this, remember brothers, is to the Prophet, but more specifically to us. Specifically to the Prophet, but more specifically to us. According to Ibn Kathir, وَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي مَا يُخَارِفُ شَرِيعَتَكَ وَلَا تَسْمَعُ مِنْهُمْ وَلَا تُسْمِعُ مِنْهُمْ وَلَا تَسْتَشِرْهُمْ وَلَا تُوَافِقُهُمْ عَلَى أَمْرٍ وَلَا تَقْبَلُ لَهُمْ رَأْيًا وَلَا مَشْوَرًا. They say that this means, don't oppose your sharia, don't listen to them or take their advice, don't seek counsel from them, don't agree with their affairs, don't accept any of their opinions or their nasiha. That's the meaning of this ayah. Don't take anything from them. Their advice, their counsel, don't obey them, don't listen to them, don't agree with them. That's the meaning of this ayah regarding the kuffar and the munafiqun. وَلَا تُطِعْ, and don't obey, falls right in line with اتَّقِ اللَّهِ. One is a commandment to do something, the other one is a commandment not to do something. And of course, as Abdul Kareem said, جَزَاهُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا, the reason why Allah put the munafiqun there is because it's a possibility that he may obey them in something. Obey them here, meaning the word obey doesn't mean like obeying the Prophet. The word obey here means don't take their advice. Don't take their opinions. Don't let them counsel you. How could it be possible for a Muslim to go to a psychiatrist who's a kafir? How could it be that a Muslim goes to a marital counselor, take his wife to Mr. Rubenstein? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Mr. Green. How are they going to help you? This is what Allah means by وَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ. And we know that the person who is a kafir, his kufr is outward. And the person who is a munafiq, his kufr is inward, and the outward of him is iman. And that's why he is called a munafiq, because nifaq means to tunnel under, like a mouse when it goes under the ground, like a field mouse. When it digs a hole, that's called a nufaq. A tunnel in Arabic is called a nufaq. A nufaq. And this is where the word nifaq comes from. Means to tunnel under. Meaning, you're hiding. On the outside it looks like one thing, but on the inside is something else. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. Surely Allah is عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. عَلِيم comes from the word عِلْم. This word عَلِيم is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are some names in which you'll find descriptively used in the Quran for the creatures of Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has. For instance, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the Prophet Ra'ufun Rahim. Ra'ufun Rahimun. And Allah is Ar-Ra'uf and Allah is Ar-Rahim. But Allah calls the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran Ra'uf Rahim, the compassionate, the kind, or the merciful. Alim is only Allah. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this word alim, which comes from the word ilm, which means knowledge, has three aspects when regarding Allah. The first is that Allah has ilm qabl wujud. Allah has knowledge before the thing came into existence. Number two, Allah has ilm hina wujud. He has knowledge while the thing exists. And number three, Allah has knowledge ba'da adami, after the thing doesn't exist anymore. He knows where it went, what happened to it, in its completion and its fullness. So Allah has knowledge before the thing comes into existence. That's the meaning of alim. While the thing is in existence, He has full knowledge of it. And after the thing is gone, Allah has full knowledge of it. And this is, in a nutshell, the meaning of al-alim. There's two aspects that the creatures of Allah, like the human beings, has that Allah doesn't have. One is that Allah is not ignorant previously of that thing, and later on He doesn't forget. As the human being might have been previously ignorant of something. And this doesn't show alimness, if we can use that word. One who's alim, he had prior knowledge of it, and he never forgot about it after it's over with. This doesn't touch Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. This doesn't come anywhere near Allah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا. That surely Allah is alim. And this also causes some problems to the Arabic student. Why does Allah use kana? Which in general means something of the past. Meaning surely Allah was. As some translators of the Quran translated, surely Allah was all-knowing. As though He's not all-knowing now. But the word kana here means Allah is continually being described as alim. He always was and He always will be. That's what the word kana here means regarding Allah. Other things, it can mean something else. That is past and is gone. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hakeeman. That Allah is hakeem. And the word hakeem comes from hikmah and hukum. Hikmah and hukum. That Allah has the wisdom, and the wisdom here is incomprehensible. And the hukum is also here, meaning He has enough wisdom to judge and judge justly. That Allah is hakim and He is hakim, and that's why Allah calls Himself hakim. He has the hikmah and He has the hukum. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this quality. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the next ayah, وَاتَّبِعْ مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. and follow, here's the other commands of the Prophet, and follow that which is inspired by revelation, wahi, in you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from your Lord. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. The first part of this ayah, ayah number 2, وَاتَّبِعْ مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ, and follow that which is in given into you of the wahi inspired in you from Allah, from your Lord. This particular aspect of this ayah, we'll start with the word khabir. The word khabir comes from the word khibra. Khibra means literally experience. But technically, the word khibra comes from the verbal tense, which means that a person has deep knowledge of the hidden things. That he's aware of the internal things. That's why one of the words for a specialist in agriculture, a specialist in farming, is called khabir. A specialist in farming is called a khabir. Why? Because he's the one, when the seeds are put in the ground, to you and me, who doesn't have that knowledge, who doesn't have the khibra, it looks like they're gone and they know they're not working. But to the specialist, he knows what's going on. When they're under the soil, he knows what's going on. He's khabir. And that's why the ulama of tafsir in Arabic language, they say that khabir is a khassu min alim. That khabir is more specific than alim. That alim is a'ammu, is more general. And khabir is more specific. When you're khabir, you're alim. But when you're alim, you're not necessarily khabir. Alim, he has full knowledge. But khabir is more specific in the sense that his knowledge is knowledge of the bawatin, of the things that are batin and the zawahir. It's the internal knowledge and the external knowledge. Whereas the alim could mean he just has knowledge of the outward. With khabir, he has knowledge of the hidden. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he says, وَاتَّبِعْ مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. Surely Allah, of what you do, is khabir. Meaning, even what you're thinking in your chest right now, those things that are in the depths of your soul, that whisper to the depths of your soul, Allah is aware of it. In another qira'ah, one of the legal recitations of this verse, from some of the people of the past, they recited this ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا, with a ya instead of the ta, meaning, surely Allah, for what they did, is khabir. In another recitation, it says, surely Allah, for what you do, is khabir. And both of them are legal. And there's a reason. The ulama of tafsir say that you can say ta'maluna khabira or ya'maluna khabira. And it gives more fullness to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. One of the things that we benefit from this ayah, according to the scholars of Islam, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the Prophet an abd mukallaf. He's a slave who has the responsibility of being just that, a slave. And there's no other title that is higher than an abd. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in many places in the Quran, he singles out either in his rububiyyah or his uluhiyyah, the slaves of Allah, by using the word abd, either with the word rabb, or using the word abd with the word ilah, or in terms of worship. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَصْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى. Glory be to the one who transported